It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey guys, Rick here from the Mobile Hunter Podcast, and I'm here to tell you about one of our sponsors, Saddy's LLC, Custom Ammunition and Gun Works. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads that have been putting down deer, waterfowl, and turkey all year long. The Saddy's Fatty, the turkey load that we use, can stop a bird dead in its tracks. Check them out at SattiesLLC.com. That's SattiesLLC.com. Or on Facebook at Satties LLC and tell them the Mobile Hunter Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the Mobile Hunter Podcast. Our mission is simple. We want to help you become a better hunter. We believe that mobility kills and efficiency will set you free. Welcome to the Mobile Hunter Podcast, guys. My name's Chris Leppert, and tonight I have a very special guest, an old buddy that actually kind of taught me a lot about woodsmanship and got the ball rolling on that little movement I had. His name's Josh Fox. Josh, how you doing, dude?
What's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Just burning it at both ends, probably like you are.
Well, I hear you.
Why don't you do me a favor and just introduce yourself a little bit, tell everybody about yourself, how you got in the outdoors, and maybe talk about some of the hunts and stuff you've done, birds you've killed, all that.
I'm from West Virginia. I lived there pretty much all my life, hunting up and down the East Coast. And 2 years ago, I moved out to Missouri and live in the middle of the Ozarks. And I love it here. The bucks are bigger, turkeys are bigger, and I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump away from all the western states, which I absolutely love to go out west and hunt elk and mule deer and antelope. So that's become my big passion. But you know, growing up hunting whitetails in the hills of West Virginia and Virginia, Maryland, killed deer in New Jersey, hunted in Maine. Yeah, I mean, I've been all over, up and down the East Coast, and killed a couple turkey grand slams.
Nice.
My boy, he's an Osceola away from his first grand slam, but finding time to get down to Florida and get him on a bird's tough, especially with him being in school and everything.
Sure.
But that's soon to come. Probably next spring, I think we're going to shoot for heading down to Florida.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess I started hunting with a saddle. It's been a long time since I met you.
Yeah.
2016, 2017, maybe. Right around the same time I started loading TSS, I got into saddle hunting and lightweight lock-on stands, and you know, kind of ditched the climber. Though I did hunt out of my climber quite a bit this year. It was comfortable.
there's nothing, you'll never take that away from the old Summit, man. They're freaking, yeah. They're comfy.
They're just not good for the mile and a half hikes in on
right.
National Forest, but
yep.
I got a few spots that are close to the road that, you know, they work perfect for, and I get in there and sit all day, and my back ain't killing me when I get home, you know.
So that's
always nice. But I'm always tinkering with my mobile setup and trying to get as light as I can get without, you know, spending $1 million at the same time.
Yes,
yeah.
It gets expensive.
That is the difficult thing, for sure. But tungsten. You want to talk about tungsten?
Yeah. So what I was thinking is we could kind of start at the beginning, and I just want to give our listeners an idea of why we actually use it. And to preface this, we 100% understand that it's significantly more expensive than lead. And, you know, Josh and I have a very distinct, I guess, privilege, because Josh has learned how to make his own hand loads. So it doesn't cost him what it's going to cost you at the store, but it is still more expensive. What do you think you're paying per round, do you think, roughly, since you do your own?
Now, since when I got into it and bought hundreds of holes and wads and all the components and powder and stuff
pre-COVID?
Yes. Well, pre-TSS explosion.
Oh, wow.
You know, in popularity. I mean, when I started loading it, Apex, Foxtrot, and Nitro Company were the only companies that you could buy TSS from.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all these new companies that have come into the scene here in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, they weren't even thought of.
Yeah.
And they've made it tough getting components.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Sorry.
Ballistic products stays sold out of everything.
Yep.
But, you know, I bought a ton of stuff when I first started loading. If I really broke it down to the dollar, I'm probably $4.50, $5 for a 20 gauge shell, right around $3 for a 410.
Okay.
The only 12 gauge tungsten that I load that I fool with at all was Big Shot. I loaded T's for deer in Virginia. It will flatline one running at 100 yards, and it'll
Jeez.
Double. Oh yes, sir. It's bad stuff.
I kind of want to see that once. Wow.
I believe that it's your money and you spend it however you want to. It's your cheekbone and your shoulder. And if 2.5 ounces of tungsten is your thing, then by all means, punish yourself. But to me, I went to TSS so I'd never have to shoot a 12 gauge again.
Amen. And I think that's the reason, call me a bitch. Right.
Yeah. But so
I think that's the reason that TSS became popular, though, is all the smart people ended up seeing, like, oh, I don't have to carry a goose gun with gigantic punt gun loads. I can carry a 410, 28, 20, and legitimately put a bird down still at whatever yardage you were shooting them at with a 12 gauge. Because let's face it, the majority of people probably aren't taking that far of a shot anyway. So, I mean,
the TSS shines in sub gauge guns. That's really what the driving force was. Absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't until it became popular that, you know, it really became a thing for 12 gauge guys, you know, and now it's like, I see guys cramming 3 ounces of number nines and a 12 gauge. And I'm just like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Hey, do your thing. Do your thing. What I know is I can carry this 2 pound 410 that I can literally shoot one handed and has zero recoil. I can hand it to a 4 year old and he can shoot it and kill turkeys with it, you know, and then you don't know you're carrying it. It doesn't kick at all.
And it is the woods like a dream, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Mobile. You can swing it. You're not beating the barrel off of stuff, you know, tree limbs and stuff in the way. It's not even an issue. And it's doing things with a 410 that pre Winchester Longbeards, a 12 gauge couldn't do.
Yeah.
When Winchester Longbeards came on, you know, they really drove the whole extended range. That was their whole marketing thing, was, you know, shoot farther, lethal, you know, further. And it's arguably probably the best lead turkey load on the market.
I'd agree. You want to go into a little bit of why that is, though?
It's the shot lock technology, really. And they use a good quality wad. You know, components that you use in a shell is huge on how well one will pattern. I mean, if you load shot, you know, in a junk wad, it's not going to perform, you know? So they use good quality components and the shot lock technology that they got, you know, I mean, they're basically super gluing their pellets together.
Yeah.
You know,
got like a resin in there.
Yeah. And it stays together for good ways. And there lies the problem. You know, I see a lot of people, they say, oh, what's your pattern look like at 20 yards? You know, when they see a TSS pattern, they're like, wow, 90% of the whole load is inside a 20 inch circle at 40. What's it do at 20? It's like, but 100% of the pattern is inside a 10 inch circle. Right. But if you can't hit a turkey with a pattern the size of a basketball, you know,
you're screwed on that.
Yeah, turkey hunting might not be for you.
Yeah.
But lead, 10 yards, 15 yards with a Longbeard XR.
That's a deer slug.
You're shooting a slug at them. It's still glued together. It's still in the wad.
Yep.
You know, and it is not forgiving. It just isn't. And you can shoot lead at 10 yards and turn right around and shoot the TSS at 10 yards at two different targets. And it's going to speak for itself.
Yep.
That denser, heavier pellet, it's harder. It doesn't deform. It's just a more forgiving performing metal. No other way to put it than it perform. It outperforms lead.
Yeah.
Period.
It really does.
Can you still kill turkeys with lead? Absolutely. Would I still make piles of dead turkeys if you took my TSS away from me and said I had to shoot them with lead? You bet. I'm still going to kill turkeys.
Yep.
But that means I'm probably going to go back to a 12 gauge.
Right.
I'm not going to enjoy shooting, you know, because let's be real, who really honestly enjoys shooting a turkey load, a 12 gauge turkey load? It's torture.
So it's funny. Our boy, Rick, he literally like dislocated his retina shooting a big 12 gauge load, and he refuses to go down from a 12 gauge. And I'm like, Rick, you realize that we're basically shooting the same load, like our bread and butter loads from Saddies are 1 5/8 ounce. Like that's what we're shooting. That's what we had in the 12 gauge too. And it's a 2 3/4 inch load out of a 20 gauge. It's freaking smoking. Yeah. I get that. It's tough to get away from the recoil and the loud boom and all that. I think that kind of makes people feel like it's doing more. And even, I mean, let's face it. How many guys did we know? Let's drop TSS for a second. How many guys do we know that went out and bought the 3.5s, even though in a 12 gauge, even though lots of times a 3 inch was patterning better. I mean, happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
more is better.
Yeah, the bigger the boom, you know, the better it'll be. And it's like, well, that's not the case, and we've got a lot of paper to prove that. So, and again, like Josh said, shoot whatever you want, but people need to understand why people are shooting TSS. And for me, I'm right there with you. It would make sense, like, to be honest with you, if it were $20 a shell, I'd still shoot it simply because I don't have to shoot a gigantic cannon and carry that. Now, if you got a nice cush piece of private where you can go walk out to a blind and hunt field birds or something, it's a different story then, because a lot of times you're taking longer shots and you don't have, you know, a long day ahead of you in the hills. But when you're running ridges, and that 410 or 20 gauge feels pretty good compared to that big ass, you know, in heavy quotes, turkey gun that we've all become accustomed to for, you know, decades. So I'm right there with you. So do you want to go a little bit into, you know, just kind of break down lead shot and TSS shot? Let's go into the different weights and honestly the different weights of tungsten, because I know you can get like the, there's like, is it measured in grains or grams? 15 grains or grams per cc?
Grains.
Grains. Okay. So you can get like the 15 grain per cc. You can get the 18 grain per cc, which is the, that's the heaviest, right?
Mm-hmm.
The most dense.
Yeah. Well, and then you, you know, depending on who you get it from, some are claiming 19 grains per cc. Yeah. So the 15 grain per cc is your old federal heavyweights. Right?
Okay.
That's this, Ballistic Products sells it. It's a Sphero tungsten. It's 15 grains per cc. I got a load for them in number sevens for those handful of states that nines are still illegal in.
Okay.
And the 15 grain sevens is devastating. I mean, devastating. I shot a turkey in Nebraska at 35 yards running away. My boy had, I called three gobblers in. My boy, he was six. He killed a bird, and the other two took off running. And I mean, I mowed that bird down 35 yards running straight away from me. And it looked like he got hit by a Mack truck.
Do you find that when you shoot these birds that they don't flop? Are you experiencing that?
Yes, they, I see a lot of people say, oh, it never flopped. And my only thing to that would be, you must have sat there for quite a while before you got up and went over to the bird, because I will agree that they don't flop
initially, but then when you touch them,
but when I get up to them, you know, they start to flop.
Isn't that weird?
But they're dead. I mean, they're
yeah,
definitely dead.
Yeah.
But you know, you get over to them, whatever it is, you know, I put my foot on their head and they start flopping, they flop for a minute and then, you know, that's it. Yeah. But I mean, I've literally chased dead turkeys down that I had shot with lead, you know, they get the flopping, and in these mountains, you know, in West Virginia, they get a little bit of wind under their wings and you might be chasing it to the bottom of the mountain, you know, and they go crashing down through the treetops and they die, but somehow they just got wind under their wings and they weren't alive.
Yeah.
You know, they were dead in the air, but there's just something about the way TSS shatters bone.
Yeah.
Shatters it. I mean, I've shot turkeys where, you know, they caught stray pellets in the leg and the leg be just shattered.
Yeah.
And you know, another reason why I like my TSS too is hunting these mountain birds. You know, yeah, the woods are open April 15th, but May 1st, it's like hunting in a wicker basket.
Yep.
You know, and my shots may only be 20 yards because that's all the further I can see, but I can also mow a path to him.
Yeah.
You know, through thick foliage, and he's going to die.
Yep.
You don't have the deflections and the deformations that you get with lead. Tungsten's going to shoot right through those saplings and kill on the other end. So that's another benefit to it, is if you're hunting thick brush, you know, obviously please always keep safety in mind and know what you're shooting at and what's beyond it. That's, should go as a given, you know, unsaid, but unfortunately it needs said.
Amen.
Which is another thing that scares me to death, because I've seen firsthand what tungsten does to animals bigger than turkeys. I've killed wild hogs with nines. I've killed coyotes, complete pass-throughs. You've seen the video.
Yeah.
Complete pass-throughs on a full-grown coyote at 40 yards with a 20 gauge. That coyote pelt looked like a turkey pattern, you know, I mean, the whole there was 300 pellets in that dog. All complete pass-throughs, and I think I picked 30 or 40 pellets out of the offside hide. and reloaded them, of course.
You know what I find interesting is the stray pellets that hit the birds that aren't in the head and neck area. The majority of those make it through the bird.
Oh, yeah.
You just see a hole where it went through rather than finding pellets. Mm-hmm. Initially, I was like, man, if you think lead sucked to bite down on, this stuff, this is going to be rough.
When they don't always get through. I have found myself, I slice my turkey breast real thin now, and I hold it up to the kitchen light, and I look, because that's the only way you can see. You know, if there is a TSS pellet in there, is hold it up to the light, and you can see. You know, because when you shot one with lead or heavy shot, you know, they'd pull a whole feather plug through. I mean, there was no mistaking where, you know, those stray pellets went. But TSS doesn't do that. I mean, you can't even see the hole or anything. So be careful with that. You know, don't assume that they're all going to blow through. Because you will go to the dentist if you chomp down on one. I can promise you. And you don't want to run one through your grinder if you make turkey burger.
Oh, man, that's another thing to think about.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, destroy your grinder.
You weren't kidding.
But like I was saying, you know, the TSS is scary, dude. Like, turkey hunting has always scared me. It's one of the most dangerous activities we do, I think, as hunters, as far as getting people shot, you know. And it was bad enough when guys were being shot with lead, but now you're talking about something that, I mean, it'll kill a man. It's going to penetrate through his clothing. It's going to enter his body, you know, at longer ranges. And I see guys, you know, loading 18 grain per cc number sevens, and it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah,
because, you know, you can be on the hillside across from him and catch a stray that, you know, he doesn't even know you're over there, and it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I agree. That would wreck a guy.
So that does concern me. It really concerns me, taking my boy with me. You know, we hunt pretty much exclusively public land, and I'm always very cautious of where he is standing, and I try to keep him behind me all the time, and he likes to try and get out ahead of me for some reason, but I gotta wrangle him back in, you know. But it makes me even more cautious, I think, as a hunter, when I hear another turkey. You know, I almost always assume that it's a hunter until I can see her, you know. And I actually dealt with that last year. Had some guys from Arkansas coming up, and they were hunting some of the birds we had been on, and, you know, I knew they were in there. I heard them get out of their truck, but I didn't know exactly where, you know. And these birds were as good as dead. I just needed to make a move on them, and I was literally too scared to do it. You know, I'm like, I don't know where these guys are, you know, and I don't know which of these yelps are real and which ones are hunters, and, you know, so I'm just going to hang out up here. And ended up not working out that day, but we got him a couple days later, so it all worked out. But but rambling on there.
Hey, you're fine, dude. It's stuff that needs to be talked about. People need to understand how dangerous it really is, because it's always interesting to me, because anytime something goes wrong like that, it's all fun and games, and then it takes a second. You know, somebody pulls the trigger, you flip a kayak or a boat, you know, take on water, mm-hmm. whatever, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, well, it's like that kid in Indiana last week, just out taking pics and flips his kayak or whatever and find him dead in the damn lake, you know?
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well,
he didn't plan that.
Yeah. Well, I stabbed myself in the leg this year, field dressing a deer, you know.
Oh,
ended
damn.
Up in the emergency room. It can go south real quick, you know. And guys are like, how did you do that? And it's like, I don't know, man. If I knew, I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
You know, it happened that fast. And next thing I know, my boot's full of blood and it's mine.
That's scary. So
another thing, man, keep a first aid kit with you. Keep a tourniquet, keep some bandages, some blood clot, because it don't weigh anything and you never know when you'll need it.
Quick clot.
Yeah, it burns. I can tell you that. It burns bad. But damn, it's better than bleeding to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, things can go south real quick. So you're better off to be prepared, you know. But on to tungsten. So here's the big thing I think a lot of people don't realize. I actually seen a post, you know, somebody had commented on Facebook earlier today about, well, that's awful small shot to be shooting at a turkey.
You know? It's like,
well, here's the thing. So you got 18 grains per cubic centimeter on your tungsten. Now, a lead pellet, lead weighs 11 grains per cubic centimeter. Heavy shot, it's 12 grains per cubic centimeter.
And guys, we want to make sure you understand, we're just referring to the weight of the metal. We are not talking about a certain shot size. No matter what the shot size, that is what that weighs.
Per cubic centimeter,
right?
Correct. Steel shot is 7.8 grains per cubic centimeter.
Good God.
Bismuth is 9.6 grains per cubic centimeter. So what this allows you to do, you know, is shoot smaller pellets with the same penetrating energy. So that number 9 tungsten pellet is going to penetrate about the same as a number 4 lead. Right? Or let's see. Yeah. So I had sourced some info from prairiewinddecoys.com, and they had done some ballistic gel testing. And so you figure the average turkey head is 1.25 inches thick.
Yeah.
So they shot, I believe it was a 1200 feet per second rough velocity there, but they shot number 2 steel. You know, keep in mind, that's basically 8 grains per cubic centimeter. And to get 1.25 inches of penetration through ballistic gel, the furthest that the number 2 steel would penetrate to 1.25 was 45 yards.
Jeez. On gel.
Now, on gel. So number 5 nickel-plated lead penetrated 1.25 inches out to 60 yards. Heavy shot, number 6 heavy shot, penetrated 1.25 inches out to 60 yards. The old federal heavyweights, 15 grain per cubic centimeter, number 7s, penetrated 1.25 at 81 yards.
Wow.
And then a number 8.5 TSS, which is 18 grains per cubic centimeter, 84.5 yards.
Damn.
Number 9 pellet penetrated 1.25 at 81 yards. And then to just kind of give you the pellet count.
This is the good stuff here.
Ideas. So there is 174 number 5 lead pellets in an ounce. There are 300 number 8.5 pellets in an ounce in TSS. Right. So for instance, you take your normal run-of-the-mill 3-inch, 2-ounce, 12 gauge magnum turkey load of number 5s, it's got about 340 to 345 number 5 pellets in it.
Yeah.
Now my 410, I load 7/8 ounces of 9.5s, which penetrates about like a 5.5 lead, right? There's 383 pellets in that little 7/8 ounce load.
Yeah.
So right out of the gate, you got 40 more pellets than a 2 ounce 12 gauge, you know, but with none of the recoil, you know, and a 2 pound gun, you know, I don't even wear ear pro half the time here at the house shooting just because I forget to put them on. And, you know, a 12 gauge, it would remind you, hey, dummy, put your ear pro back on. But the 410, I mean, it's just a little pop gun. I mean, yeah. Literally, you know, it's enjoyable to shoot, and the patterns that it's producing, it'll kill a turkey way further than I shoot them anyways.
Yep.
I mean, if I shoot one at 50 yards, I misjudged a distance. I thought he was 40.
Yep.
You know, but that's just me. There are guys out there that, you
know, I misjudge them worse.
Yeah. Well, I misjudged one a few years ago. I thought it was 45 yards. And when I stepped it off and looked back at the tree I was sitting under, it was like 62.
Yeah.
And I was like, how in the hell did I do that?
Dude, that first year that I shot the 410, well, it was the only year I shot a 410. I had a field bird come in. I finally freaking got on a turkey. It was a crazy year. Finally got a bird to come in. And I figured he was around 40. I shot, and it seemed like an eternity before the bird even reacted. Like, I was almost up on one knee to run and get the bird before it even reacted. And it just dumped. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, I wonder if there was like a delayed reaction or what. Like, I don't understand. I got out there and it was well past 60 yards with a 410 with 9.5s. Does everybody pretty much do the 7/8 ounce, or are there some that are like?
There a lot of loads are 13/16.
Okay, that's what was in my head, but I also know that that's center shot, I'm pretty sure, so I didn't want to mess that up.
Yeah, the most common, I feel like, is probably 13/16. And okay. There's some guys that are even loading one full ounce in 410.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not that many more pellets. Like, yeah, it really isn't. It's like maybe 10 more pellets. So,
oh wow.
To me, it's not that many.
Okay.
But 7/8 ounces is what I prefer. It's a good load, good pellet count. But when I first started loading, I loaded 13/16.
Okay. Have you messed with a 28 gauge at all?
No.
Okay.
Simply because I wanted to buy one, but you can't find the components to load it.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. It's funny though. I mean, 28 gauge is some of the only shotgun shells you can find on the shelf at Walmart, you know, as far as dove loads and stuff.
Yeah. But
as far as getting the components to load it, it's tough, but it's like the dream turkey gun, man. It really is. You know, you ounce and a quarter, ounce and a half, you know, just a bump more than the 410. So it gives you a little bit better pellet count for shooting through the brush and stuff, you know, in the dense hardwoods. And you don't lose that pellet count going down range because of leaves and debris, but it also, you know, very low recoil. It's a very efficient load. You know, the payload that you get that you can load in it versus the amount of powder you got to use to load it. You know, and the guys that are buying it off the shelf, they don't care about that. They just, you know, sure, want to put it in their gun and go bang. But for somebody that loads, I mean, you really look at that kind of stuff like, well, I got a pound shot of powder, you know, and if I load, you know, 30 grains of powder in 20 gauge versus 25 grains and 28, you know, over the course of that pound, I can get 5 more shells out of it or whatever. Yeah. Obviously, that's not exact math, but you get the gist. You know, you can really stretch that out, you know, and it becomes a more efficient gauge to reload for the payload that you're getting, the pellet counts that you're getting.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good thought.
While not having to recoil too, because I mean, let's be honest. I mean, 1/5/8 ounces of TSS out of a 20 gauge. I mean, you know, you shot something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a 3.5 inch 12 gauge, you know, but it's not a walk in the park either. You know, you better hold on to it or it's going to bite you. That 28 gauge, it's a pussycat, you know, it's right there with the 410, you know, but it's giving me just a little bit more.
I'm pretty excited. I bought the Stevens 550/555 or whatever. It's an over and under. Mm-hmm. I've got the Indian Creek choke in the top barrel, and then I think I'm going to run like a modified in the bottom or something for those closer birds. That way I can just open her right up and probably even shoot lead out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, just that's, see what happens.
So I shoot an over under also. I've got a CZ Drake 20 gauge.
Ah.
I shoot matching 571 True Locks, both barrels.
Really?
But I shoot tungsten in one and lead in the other. And I shoot cheap Remington Nitro number fives. And if a turkey gets inside of 35 yards, he's toast with the lead. I mean, I don't really even need the tungsten, but again, the foliage, you know,
sure,
the brush, if I need to extend it, you know, because I'm here to tell you, I am not a bird watcher. I'm a bird killer. I didn't get up at 3 a.m. to watch him walk off.
Yeah.
So while 90% of the turkeys that I take are inside of 30 yards, don't think for a second that you're going to come in gobbling, spitting and drumming and hang up at 55 yards and think you're safe, because I'm going to mow you down. I'm going to mow you down. And I got the gun that'll do it to 70 if I felt like it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I shoot it, you know. But a lot of these birds here, I went to the over-under because I was wasting these $10 shells on turkeys that I could have literally killed with a load of rock salt. I mean, I was shooting birds. I shot one at, he was 3 feet from the end of my barrel on a field edge. And I mean, I watched the wad bounce off of his head. There was no head left. You've seen the pictures. I mean, it was pretty gruesome, but, you know, I'm like, why am I wasting all this TSS on these turkeys that, you know, literally a dove load is all you need? And I'm like, you know, I should get an over under. Then I can have a long barrel and a close barrel. It'll be perfect, you know? And it works out good, you know, because you get them in there 30, 35 yards, and it don't matter if I mistake and flip the wrong, you know, barrel on the safety, you know, it still shoots good. And that's what it makes me leery of the whole, I'm going to run a full or a modified.
It makes sense.
Because if you mess up, you know, you're probably going to flat out miss him at 30 yards with a modified. If you're shooting lead, you probably go kill him. If you're shooting TSS, even with the modified,
sure.
You probably still kill him, but, with lead, yeah, he's probably going to laugh at you as he runs off. and mistakes, I mean, I don't know about you, but I get pretty jacked up when I got a bird coming in. So
they do it for me more than deer generally. Like, I don't know what it is, but I mean, even a bird, you know, for a fact is a 2-year-old with a 6 or 7 inch beard comes in and I'm all to pieces, man. I'm freaking out. I mean, the way their head changes colors and that pissed off look in their eye, they just command the area. And you genuinely feel like you're in Jurassic Park every single time. Everybody like knows the scene. Clever girl. Like, they come flipping in and you're like, oh shit. And it's just, invigorating. Like, it's my first love. I killed three turkeys before I ever killed a deer, and it's just something else. So,
hey guys, Rick here from the Mobile Hunter Podcast, and I'm here to tell you about one of our sponsors, Saddy's LLC, Custom Ammunition and Gun Works. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads that have been putting down deer, waterfowl, and turkey all year long. The Saddy's Fatty, the turkey load that we use, can stop a bird dead in its tracks. Check them out at SattiesLLC.com. That's SattiesLLC.com. Or on Facebook at Saddy's LLC and tell them the Mobile Hunter Podcast sent you.
I had some issues last year with some close birds and I missed them. So, and I think I was just holding a little tight of a pattern with the 20 gauge. So I might go ahead and run just like a full choke or something like that. I think I even have an extra full that came with it. And just see, I'll shoot. I mean, I've got the cheap, you know, five, sixes, whatever. I'll shoot sixes and, you know, just see what the pattern's like. And that way, you know, it's plenty wide enough to open up at, you know, 15, 20 yards and still smack him, you know, not be shooting, you know, a super tight pattern, but, and also just having, you know, if you do screw up, you pull your shot, flinch, whatever happens, you got one more shot rather than a single barrel, which,
yes,
you know, yes. It was so depressing, man. I did everything else superb last year. I've learned a lot with, you know, the woodsmanship aspect of turkeys and turkey calling and stuff. And it was just like, I had the greatest call-ins I ever had. And then I'd miss the bird. And I'm like, dude, that's the easy part. What are you doing? Like, you located birds, you called them right off the roost and you missed? Come on, man. So we're going to try to doctor that shit up a little bit.
Are you shooting an optic?
Yeah, that's the part that pisses me off. Dude, I had a bird at like, I'm the worst yardage judger in the history of the planet ever. Maybe universe. I would guess that bird between 35 and 40 yards and he might have been closer. But regardless, I missed the bird. And when I shot, I was worried at first because I'm like, man, there were a couple of turkeys, you know, in the vicinity. Like, don't go pulling a trigger and walking up to a flock of damn turkeys laying on the ground flopping around, you know. So right. I was pretty relieved that I missed, but I couldn't believe that I missed that bird. He flew up in a tree. Like, I was sitting there like, okay, you know, shit, weird shit happens, whatever. Aaron probably just loaded a blank on me is what it was.
That'd be my story too.
I can't say what we joke about, but you've seen the funny meme where they're making fun of the long beard guys, what comes out of the shell and bites them in the face, all the rubber phallic objects. Freaking hilarious. But I couldn't believe I missed the bird. I was dumbfounded. And then I went on and that was on public land opening morning, you know, minutes in, and Josh kills a bird minutes after I missed. We could have doubled by basically just making a couple of yelps. Like, just the scouting and all the woodsmanship behind it was perfect, and I screwed it up. So this year, I want to try my best to avoid that. So I'm actually going to go, I don't know if I'll probably make it up there either probably Thursday or Friday or something and pick my gun up from Aaron and install my red dot. I got a Burris Fast Fire 3 to put on it. A Meadow Creek mount. That dude's pretty cool. So I'm pretty excited, man. Over and unders, I don't think people understand how nice they truly are. I learned a lot about them researching them before I bought one, because I thought, you know, you don't have to go get a Satori or something, or one of the crazy, you know, $5,000 over and unders. You can get a nice CZ Drake, you can go get a Stevens or whatever, and it can be a beater gun. You can go rabbit hunting with that gun, squirrel hunting, duck hunting. You can turkey hunt. You can literally hunt every bird and small game you want with it. And I went with a 28 gauge and went out duck hunting, killed a duck with it. And learning that they set up smaller than the pump and semi-autos because you don't have that extra 4 or 5 inches of action there. So even though you have a 28 or even a 30 inch barrel, it's still not as long.
Like a 24 inch pump.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like carrying a little pump and they pull and swing so freaking nice, man. They shoulder so nice. It's just, I couldn't not get one. So I'm pretty excited to carry it through the turkey woods, and we might end up, I don't want to sound like a ritzy guy or anything, but I may have to buy another one just to hunt everything else in, because I might just leave it set up for turkeys.
Dude, I rabbit hunt with mine with my Burris Fast Fire on.
Do you?
Yeah. I shoot pheasants, rabbits. I don't even take it off. I just change the choke tubes. That's it.
That's slick. I mean,
it's basically just completely replaced the bead for me. You know, I mean, line of sight didn't change. You shouldered a gun. Try it. I will say, for anybody that might be thinking about getting an over under, there are a couple of things you want to keep in mind. Make sure that it has a barrel selector safety. I have a Stoeger Condor over under that I rabbit hunt with. It does not have a barrel selector. You turn the safety off, you pull the trigger once, the top barrel goes off, you pull it the second time, the bottom barrel goes off, and you have no choice as to how that works.
Oh, damn. And
so, yeah, you want to make sure that it's either got two triggers, you know,
yep,
or it's got a barrel selector. And then the second thing to keep in mind is, on the lower end guns, chances are pretty good the barrels are not going to hit the same. You know, your top and your bottom, and a lot of them, they'll be close, you know, but don't be shocked that they're not identical, you know. So like what I did, mine are not identical. I kind of split the difference when I sighted my red dot in, I know that when I hold on the wattles for my top barrel, I'm actually going to hit I'm going to hit him in the head and not the wattles.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It shoots a little high. But
so that's your long range barrel then?
That's my long range barrel. I aim wattles and I take his head off. And then the bottom barrel, aiming at his wattles, is dead on.
Okay. I like that.
So it actually shoots about 4 inches difference.
Okay.
Point of aim, point of impacts, and I just split the difference. And I always aim for wattles anyways.
Yep.
So unless a turkey at 40 yards would suddenly duck his head real fast and I shoot over him, shouldn't be an issue at all.
Okay.
But, you know, those are things to keep in mind with an over-under. You start talking about the Mossberg Silver Preserve, the TriStar over-unders, the cheaper end over-unders, you're probably going to run into that. And some are extreme. Like, some you might as well have bought a damn single shot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the risk you take, I guess, with that. But my CZ is pretty daggone close. And I know the Stevens are really good shotguns. I've got friends that have them, and they've never had any issues. They've been relatively close as well.
Okay. Man, I'm really excited. I heard, so we did a podcast with Greg from Meadow Creek, and he was telling me that there's a choke company that makes a choke that will, if you like shoot your gun and measure some stuff for them, they can basically make a choke that'll force that shot up into the other shot area. So, you know, so, when I make them hit in the same spot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned Meadow Creek mounts too. That's something else I see pretty often on Facebook. People, you know, they want to mount an optic on their gun, but they don't know, you know, so should I pay to have somebody drill and tap it? Yada, yada, yada. And
right.
I had a couple of guns drilled and tapped before Meadow Creek existed. And I'm here to tell you now, if I got a gun that's got a vent rib, and it's not drilled, it's going to have a Meadow Creek mount on it, you know. Yep. And people, you know, I've had people ask me, well, how do you like it, you know, being out there on the barrel like that, you know? And it's like, you don't even notice, you know, that it's not on the receiver. You know, it's not in the way when you're carrying, at least the way I carry my guns. I'm not banging my optic off of stuff. And you shoulder it, and it's just like pulling up a bead, you know?
Yeah.
So as far as where it sits on the gun, I think that it's a non-issue. And it's just so convenient, you know? I mean, $49
right.
for a rock solid mount that, you know, basically any Burris Fast Fire or Vortex Venom footprint, you know, RMR reflex sights going to fit on, you know, it's a no brainer. Definitely the route to take if you're going to put an optic on a shotgun.
Amen to that, dude. What do you do for the glare on your optic? Do you do anything at all?
I run the cover that's on it.
Okay.
Just the cover. I actually took a little black electrical tape around the cover and onto the sight itself so that it doesn't pop off and I lose it, because I have lost a couple over the years.
Right.
But that's really pretty much all I do. I've always kind of had my gun laying in my lap more than
You know,
aimed and trained. It's just been one of them things basically all my life. I just kind of, you know, gun lays in my lap and I let him come in. And when he goes behind a tree, I pick the gun up and, you know, take the shot. So I don't think that the sun glare is an issue personally, even if I had the gun trained there. But, you know, your setup is everything. And if you get picked off by a bird, you're literally going to pick everything apart in your head. You're going to be like, what did he see? Oh yeah, he saw my glasses. He saw the glare off of my scope. He saw the glare off of my shotgun, because it's not mossy oak bottomlands. It's just, you know, so I'm going to go pay $500 and have my gun dipped, you know. And oh, he saw UV. So trust me, I've done it all, you know, spraying your clothes down in UV killer. You know, you name it, just trying to figure out what in the world, you know, that turkey saw, because you thought you did everything right. And I think really at the end of the day, it boils down to having the sun at your back, you know, not glaring down on you, stay in the shadows. And if you're hunting with more than one person, split up.
Yep.
You know, two guys sitting side by side without any type of blind or anything is a recipe for getting busted. And if I've learned anything hunting turkeys in Missouri, it's that, because they whooped my butt for a lot of years before I finally killed one here. I've called a bunch in for a lot of other people, you know, and they all killed them. But I just personally couldn't ever get the trigger pulled on one until this last spring.
Damn.
Got that bird. But you know, you'd call birds in and they'd be reading the script, I mean, right to a T, and then they get to about 50 yards and all of a sudden they're clucking, you know, like, what in the world did they see? You know, well, it turns out, you know, they just don't like, you know, me and my son and my dad all humped up next to the same tree together, you know? So as soon as we started separating and splitting up and everybody gets your own tree, those issues went away. I don't think that the glare is an issue.
I talked to Tyler Carver from Hunt 3D. He like 3D prints all these little gadgets, and I had him over one day and we were chatting. I was like, "Hey, you think you could print a sunshade for my Fast Fire?" And he's like, "Oh yeah." So he's got a couple different colors for me to check out. I'm kind of excited about it. It's been one of my pet peeves, but I'll have to agree with you. My gun lays across my lap more than anything. So, I mean, unless he swings in at my 9 o'clock, you know,
right,
without me knowing, he's not going to see it generally.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing, dude. I mean, if you think about it, how many times you've been sitting in a tree stand or sitting in the woods, you know, turkey hunting, everything reflects. Yeah. Everything is reflecting. I mean, it, overcalling's going to get you busted more than anything. You know, yeah, he's already figured out exactly what tree that sound is coming from. If you're steady squawking at him, if there's anything reflecting, yeah, he's probably going to pick it up then, you know. That's a weird looking hen over there, shining bright, you know.
Got the jury.
But I mean, as far as like, oh, my gun barrel, it's got a sheen. So is that tree limb with the sun, yeah, beating on. I mean, everything, yep, reflects. So I think we overthink as hunters. We overthink a lot of stuff.
Sure.
Camouflage being one, you know.
Oh, dude.
Sun glare, stuff like that. I mean, I hunt in solids.
Yep. I love my bottom land, but I'm a solids, yeah, guy.
I love my solids because it goes, I'm a matching guy. I'm OCD. So, you know, it's like I just spent $100 and some on these Kuyu pants. They can't be camouflaged because I need to be able to wear them with my first light jacket, you know, and my bottom lands and all that stuff. So I got to have everything, you know, so they go together. So I like my solids because, you know, they match everything.
Yeah, dude. Amen to that. I'm a freaking solids guy myself. I've got buddies that make fun of me and give me shit. And I'm like, dude, solids to me are more realistic in my opinion, especially like if I wear, you know, let's just say like a light gray pair of pants and a green top. I mean, I literally look like an extension of the tree half the time, and you put camo on and get up there and lots of the camos, they really stick out like a sore thumb to me. And then, you know, when my colorblind brother-in-law looks at me, I mean, he can pick you off right away. So I'm more into the solids.
No, I definitely agree, especially for deer. You know, they just, the way they see, you know, the old adage, sit still and shut up, you know.
Yeah.
Stay in the shadows and move with a purpose and you'll be fine. Turkeys, I mean, turkeys and waterfowl, I do think the camouflage comes into play there.
Oh, sure.
I've killed birds in solid pants, but almost always a camouflage top, you know, covering on my bear skin and all that. But
yep.
As far as deer goes, man, I mean, literally, I've shot deer in blue jeans and a flannel shirt.
Yeah. Blaze orange. I mean,
yeah, yeah. Head to toe look like a freaking pumpkin. And I've killed more deer with a gun in bow range than I've killed with a bow.
Dude, and it's so weird. I think we could hear that from so many people. And I'm telling you, I've got a theory about that. I truly think that blaze orange hides you better than any other anything. And here's why. A, because the data that you just spit out, and the same thing, I've had the same thing. Deer come in, have no idea that you're around, and they're 5, 10, 15 yards, and you're not very far up in a tree or you're on the ground. But I always refer to my brother-in-law. He helps me with this colorblind stuff. He sees, you know, pretty similar to a deer. And we'd go golfing, and he would have blaze orange golf tees, and he'd hit his golf ball, and he wouldn't be able to find his tee on the tee box. Couldn't see it at all. We'd be at the gym, and he'd look and be like, "Hey, check out that girl." in the green shorts over there. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm like, brother, there's not a girl over there in green shorts. And I always forget every time. I'm like, bro, there's literally not a girl anywhere in green shorts. And I think he forgets that he's colorblind because he's like, she's right there. And I'm like, well, there's a girl in orange shorts. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, here we go. So I think there's something to it because I've had the same thing as you, dude. Like, I feel like when I put on Blaze Orange, deer have no idea that I exist.
Yeah, that, and I think you're a bow hunter at heart. You know, I don't know about you, but I know I still gun hunt like if I had a bow in my hand, you know. Yeah. I don't really set up with the intentions of shooting, you know, hundreds of yards for whitetails.
Oh, well, you're not one of those evil, dirty, woodsmanshipless gun hunters. No.
And don't get me wrong, I will shoot one at 500 all day long, but that's not my intentions. At least not for whitetails.
Yeah.
Now, when I hunt out west, I love to hunt with a rifle out west.
Oh, yeah. I hope I get to go on a rifle hunt out west this fall. I'm thinking about picking up like an over-the-counter or a leftover tag or something. You know, we'll see. I know a lot of things are changing, it seems like, constantly. So we'll see what's left over and what the options are this fall. But
well, you got really good odds of finding a landowner voucher, you know, if you want to pay for it, you know. Yeah. If you're going to do an over-the-counter hunt, particularly Colorado, I suggest you do it in the next year or two because I think it's gone.
It's on its way out.
It's definitely on the way out. And then they reintroduced the wolves, and that's only going to
between
the wolves, and then they banning the mountain lion hunts is. It's just going to expedite, you know, getting rid of the over-the-counter tags because they just the herd can't handle it, you know.
Yeah, you got to wonder what the hell people are thinking with that. That's
the people that, you know, it's
feeling.
Ballot box biology at its best, you know, and you got voters voting for something that one doesn't pertain to them. I mean, the people that passed that stuff, you know, those wolves are on the western slope. The voters are from the eastern slope. They're never going to have to interact with those wolves. You know, it's not their problem. And I just don't think that they fully grasp the role that, you know, they play in the ecosystem and the amount of wildlife that they, you know, they consume and that they will prey upon. And you got grizzlies, I mean, expanding all over the West. I mean, they're seeing grizzly bears in places they haven't seen them in decades. You got wolves out the wazoo. Montana's covered in them. Wyoming's got their fair share now. You got, you know, Colorado just had a bunch introduced. Idaho's got wolves. You put a ban on mountain lion hunting, and the odds are against them. Odds are against deer species, all of them, mule deer, whitetail, elk. They're all in bad shape. Then you throw in a couple of hard winters on top of it all, and it's like, that's why I didn't shoot a mule deer in Montana this year, man. I could have killed a buck every day if I was just after a buck, you know. But, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this little 120-inch three-point, you know, and I'm like, I can't bring myself to pull the trigger, you know, because here I am complaining about deer numbers, you know, and that they're low. And all the bucks that I was seeing that were quality to me, you know, they were on private ground, and overall numbers on public were very, very low. And it's like, well, how do I turn right around, you know, tongue in cheek, complain one hand and then add to the reduction of the herd by killing an animal that I wasn't proud of, you know.
Sure.
Don't need the meat. You know, I knew I had an elk tag in my pocket. I have elk meat in the freezer still from last year's bull. So, you know, my boy killed a big buck. I shot a buck here in Missouri. I mean, the meat wasn't a necessity, you know. So I wanted to kill a respectable representation of a mule deer, and I just didn't see it, you know.
I can respect that. That's pretty cool. I want to go out and mule deer hunt. I probably won't be as selective for a while, but once I start having a couple of options, I think I could. But I know mule deer is delicious. So if it was like last day or something like that, and something like that walked in front of me, he could be much smaller too. They're delicious.
Yeah, last hour, last day, I had a little four corn. I mean, little itty bitty four corn. I mean, he was 50 yards, you know, broadside, just standing there looking at me, just dumber than a brick. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to my buddy. And I mean, he didn't say anything other than kill him. And I was just like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, dude, you're going home in the morning, like, kill something, you know, take the meat home. My wife's like, I can't believe you didn't, you know. I was steady sending her pictures of deer and stuff that I'd seen, and she's like, are you gonna kill one? I'm like, probably not, you know, not unless I see something big. But I think we all have to, you know, set your goals, you know.
Yep.
And do what's, you know, enjoy your hunt how you want to enjoy it, you know.
I agree.
If a 180 is what you're after, then, man, go hike a million miles to not see a 180.
Right. Did you I'll have to look and see when it was posted. Do you ever listen to anything from Cam Haynes or Remy Warman with Warren?
No, not really. I watch some of their stuff on YouTube, but I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
Okay. So I was painting the old nursery. We moved the crib and stuff out last night, and Cora's going to take over that room. So I was painting it today, spent all day painting it. And I thought, well, I'm going to turn something on. I'm looking on YouTube, and the Keep Hammering podcast came up, but it was, you know, video. And he had Remy Warren on, and he was telling the story of, I think it was his biggest deer. So I'd highly encourage you and anybody to go listen to that podcast. I'm pretty sure it's recent, but, essentially he talks about how he's on this hunt and ends up saving a lady's life and then gets permission on some private, because that ends up being, the landowner's friend that he saved. He hears about this buck at a bar, goes and door knocks, which he never does, he said, and the dude recognized him, was like, hey, are you Remy? He's like, yeah. It's like, you're the one that saved my friend, and takes him to another landowner and gets permission on this piece and kills a 217 inch mule deer. Insane,
dude. That is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like, insane.
Crazy. And, you know, and the lady, they were near a river, and she was like floating down the river. They'd clearly, their watercraft capsized. Husband died, like, lost him. They found him a mile downstream, pulled him out, and he was already dead. Like, it is a hair-raising story. Oh, so, wow. I mean, obviously, I'm not in any way affiliated with them yet, but I'm listening to this, and me and my daughter are painting the room, and I'm like, holy shit, man, you couldn't even make this up if you tried. That's insane. So,
yeah,
kind of cool.
Wow, man, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, dude, you got any final thoughts on some TSS or Western hunting or over-unders or anything?
No, I think we pretty well covered it, you know?
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, one last thing. Give it a rest on the whole learn how to call thing. I don't shoot TSS because I can't call.
You damn TSS boys, learn how to call.
I keep telling them, you know, hey, drop me a pen to your honey hole and I'll bring a 410 and a load of lead sixes and let me come hunt your best spot. I mean, I can't call, so your turkeys should be safe.
They'll be fine. And,
but no one ever takes me up on it.
Right? I don't blame them, man. Damn turkey killing SOB. Well, dude, I appreciate you giving us your time, man. I appreciate the good knowledge. Hopefully this helps somebody. And man, I'm really thankful to get to chat with you tonight.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Well, guys, this has been the Mobile Hunter Podcast. I've been your host, Chris Leppert, and tonight we were joined by Josh Fox. Y'all have a great night or great day, actually. Listen to this on your way to work or something. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. The best way you can support the podcast is by sharing online and with your buddies at Deer Camp. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and leave us a 5-star review.